Just have. Well, it is good to see all of you folks. It's been a while since I've been here in your regular service. I still come to the school. I think it's been 18 years I've been doing that since I retired. And now I'm getting so old, I don't know how much longer I can do it. But I enjoy seeing young people, and it's always good to be around kids. And so it is a blessing. And but I've known the Hunts for a long time. I have a high regard for them and for this church. And when Brother Hunt called, looks like it's staring me in the face here. I'll move that over. Brother Hunt called. I told him I would try to preach for you, so that's what I'll do. You pray for me. I'd like for you to turn to the 27th Psalm. And this is a Psalm of David. Most of the Psalms are written by David. And This identifies it as such. I want to read the first five verses here. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. I want to focus on this first verse here. A lot of times with the Psalms, the psalmist gives us the gist of it here in the very beginning and then sometimes expands into some other areas. But he's basically giving praise to the Lord here, and if I gave titles, and I'm not one to give big titles, but it would be, whom shall I fear, or of whom shall I be afraid? And that's what he talks about here in this first verse. He says, the Lord is my light, he's my salvation, and he's my strength. And really, a lot of times we say, well, a sermon ought to have 3 points. There's 3 points for us. First of all, he says, the Lord is my light. Before the Lord saved me, I attended church, but I really didn't understand salvation. I had made a profession of faith. Actually, a preacher said one time to me, are we saved by faith, or are we saved by works? And I very eagerly said, we're saved by our works. And he said, oh no, we're saved by faith. And then after we're saved by faith, then we're to work for the Lord. And I lied when I said to him, well, that's what I meant. But really, when I got to thinking about it after that, that isn't what I meant at all. I had in my mind that I could work and somehow acquire salvation. And the Lord began dealing with me from that point on, and finally he shed enough light on me to cause me to see my great need and see that I needed a Savior. I think this last couple of weeks, when we've seen how a man in a country can command so many people to come and kill others ruthlessly, Sometimes when preachers talk about total depravity, people rebel against that. But I think we've seen here in the last couple of weeks the full extent of total depravity. I mean, Mr. Putin is depraved and demonstrates it. But really, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all of us are guilty before God. And we sometimes don't realize how bad off we are without the blessing of God's great salvation. And so here he says, "The Lord is my light." David, before he became the king, and he no doubt was the king when he was writing the Psalms here, his family, sometimes he was one of the younger brothers and youngest brother, and so they kind of looked down on him. You remember when the prophet Samuel came and the Lord had said, "We're going to choose someone out of Jesse's family." They put all the other brothers up, and they said, "Well," he said, "is this all you have?" And they said, "Well, yeah, we have another younger brother, but you wouldn't be interested in him," that's to paraphrase it. And that's the one whom the Lord had chosen. And, you know, when we look at the scripture, I don't think we find any particular verse that says David was born again. You know, he writes the Psalms. He was the king chosen by God to lead in the nation. Actually, the only one that we see whom the Lord spells out particularly that trusted in the Lord, it says about Abraham there in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter, Abraham believed in God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And so we have a definite statement about Abraham. Now over here in the book of Romans, if you'll turn with me to the 4th chapter, it's talking about the matter of salvation for us. And it says here in verse 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So when you try to talk to some people and they say, "Well, you've got to have good works or you'll never get to heaven." Well, that's true for a Christian. I've tried to talk to Catholics sometimes and they say, "Well, look at our church. We're so historic." Well, Baptists are historic from New Testament times. And the difference in just a sentence between Catholic doctrine and Baptist doctrine is the Catholics believe you have to get to Christ through the church. And we believe that you get to the church through Christ. And so there's a world of difference in that. I mean, we don't have to go to anybody and tell them our weaknesses and tell them our sins and tell them our undoings. We go directly to Christ. And he actually says that we're made priests. And so we can come to him and directly appeal to him. When we have prayer like we've had in this service, it's directly to Christ. But the Roman Catholics have developed a whole system where they have bishops and or a pope and bishops and archbishops and I don't know what else. I can't keep up with all of their titles. But then they come down to a priest, and it's usually a man who has a collar on backwards. But really, the Bible says that we're all priests. We can come directly to the Lord. In the Old Testament, they had priests, but not in the New Testament, because each individual believer is a priest. And here it says that if we work not, but believe on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now notice here in verse 6, the Old Testament doesn't tell us when David was saved, but notice he says, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. So David no doubt knew the Lord as his Savior. In the Old Testament, they looked forward. There were all kinds of promises from the third chapter of Genesis on that the Lord was going to send a man to take away our sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, born of a virgin, and lived a perfect life, and took our sins upon him there on the cross when he was crucified. That doesn't tell all the story. He was buried, and he resurrected. As you know, that doesn't even tell all the story. He's mediating even today for us at the Father's side. So a lot of times we forget about that, but it's death, burial, and resurrection, which it tells us there in 1 Corinthians 15. But then he's our mediator, and the book of Hebrews talks about that. And so we have a perfect Savior. And so David is saying here, the Lord is my light. The Lord is the one who opened my heart. And though we don't read here of the specific time in which God saved him, and there isn't a specific statement here in the Old Testament like there is about Abraham, who believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness, David says, the Lord is my light. And you know, that's why we preach the gospel. The gospel is the light of God coming to a lost sinner. And the Lord comes and opens our hearts and opens our eyes spiritually and opens our minds so that we can see our need and trust the Savior. And really, when I go back and tell people how the Lord saved me, I just came to a place where I finally had to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm such a terrible sinner. I deserve hell. And if you send me there, it's what I deserve anyway. But you said, if I trust Christ, you'll save me, and I'm going to throw myself upon you. I'm going to trust in Christ. And the Lord saved me. And that was when I was 18 years old. And I have been trying to follow the Lord and serve the Lord and pastor churches and do what he'd have me to do for all of these years since then. 60-some years. Actually, my wife and I will soon celebrate our 65th anniversary. She's sorry she couldn't be here tonight. She has osteoarthritis real bad, and she now takes baby steps to get around. And she said the last time she tried these steps, she couldn't make it. She tried the ramp, and she almost didn't make it. I had to help her both times, and she said, just tell him I'm sorry I can't be there tonight. But we soon will celebrate 65 years. We met in high school. Excuse me. You know, you look back and you see how the Lord was working. The only reason I took that class where I met her was because the football coach taught the class. And I was trying to get her attention, and I was kind of disturbing the class a little bit. And finally he said, all right, I'm going to fix you. You go back and sit behind her. Well, that was like throwing Brer Rabbit in the briar patch. You know, I was so glad. And she helped me through that class. I got a good grade out of it. And she has always been very good with numbers. But then after that, we courted a while, and then we married. And we did have the same number of children as Andrew and Bonnie. And Bonnie is our granddaughter. But now they've got six of theirs and one more. So they have seven. So we only have five. So I've talked to several people. And they said, well, how many children should we have? And I said, well, I think five's a good number. But everybody doesn't want five. And some people want more than five, and the more you have, the more blessed you are. So, but that's a little sideline. Okay, David says, the Lord is my light. And then notice the second thing he says here, the Lord is my salvation. And really, that's the thing that is so gripping to each one of us when we can say, I have a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. God is my salvation. Christ hadn't come at this point. And when we go through the Old Testament and start leading up, the Lord is revealing incrementally different phases about how the Lord will come and who he will be. Isaiah tells us quite a bit about that. There in the 53rd chapter especially, it's so explicit about even how he would suffer on the cross and the agony he would suffer to pay our sin debt. And so here David is just very simply saying, the Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You know, a lost person, we sometimes forget about it, but a lost person lives under fear all the time. Fear of death. I used to think when I was a teenager, I heard enough preaching, and I heard enough preaching on hell to know that if I died, that's where I was going. And yet, whenever I would get thoughts like that, I'd say, put them out of your mind. You know, don't think about that. I remember one time when I first got a car, I saved up my money. I worked after school and saved up my money and got a car. And my dad said to me, now I want to tell you about a car. He said, they're as dangerous as a gun, so you be careful with it. And I got out on a gravel road. It was kind of on a hill one day, and I thought, I'll see how much this thing will do. And I started up pretty fast, and I thought, I'm going faster than I ought to, and hit the brakes in the back end, started sliding over toward the hills. I thought, oh, me. And it stopped, and I thought, Lord, help me never to do something like that again. And I thought, what if I had died? And I thought, I would have gone to hell. And, you know, the Lord just sends convicting thoughts to you all the time. And so when the Lord saves you, like David here, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I feel so sorry for these folks over there that Putin has attacked, and now it's just indiscriminate attacks upon them, hospitals and civilians, just terrible. And I think everybody is upset about it, but that's what the end result of total depravity will do. You have no conscience, you just lose it. We always had restraints, even when I was lost. We lived in a community right on the Kenton and Boone County line called Kennebu. And whenever we walked back through there, everybody knew us and we knew everybody. And my dad didn't have a car at that time. And he would walk home. Sometimes people would pick him up and bring him most of the way. But if we did something wrong, somebody would say, I'm going to tell your dad when next time I see him. Ooh, my brother and I would straighten up when they said that. Everybody in the community looked out for everybody else. You know, it's not like now. You don't even know who your neighbors are. But here he's saying, the Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Well, we don't fear Satan that he will bring us to destruction, but we do have to fear him that he will not lead us into temptation and terrible sin. And so there's a sense where we have no fear. And then when the Bible says Satan is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, then we realize, well, we have to be cautious as children of God and not live a careless, sinful life, because that's exactly what Satan wants. And so here he tells us about God's great salvation. In the 79th Psalm, if you turn over there with me or if you just want to listen, David says this several times. But in Psalm 79 here in verse 9, he says, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. You know, we've developed sort of a recreational idea in our society that everybody's here to be entertained. The Lord didn't put us here to entertain him, to be entertained. He put us here to bring glory unto him, and that's what he says there in that psalm. And that's what David says. David had enemies. David, every king that ever sat on a throne had people trying to kill him. That's why they had cupbearers, like Nehemiah was. And before the king would even drink anything, the cupbearer would have to come in and take a sip of it to see if there wasn't poison in it. And he'd have to take a bite of food of every item on the plate to see that there wasn't poison in it. When you study the history of the popes, there's a few of them that were poisoners. I mean, they were notorious. If they invited anybody to supper, look out. You probably wouldn't leave the place. And that was always a fear of them. But here he says that we don't have to. He's the God of our salvation, and for the glory of thy name, deliver us and purge us away from our sins. For thy name's sake, we're to live our lives for the Lord's name's sake. And he's the one whom we should follow. And then you'll notice here that he also says that he will be my strength. Notice back here in the 18th Psalm, the psalmist is writing about the strength of the Lord. And he says here in verse 2, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. This is a king writing, but he's not saying, look at me, look at the great position I have. And David was a great king. Actually, the Lord says about him, he's a man after God's own heart. Now, we remember the terrible sin he fell into, and that's the black mark on his life, but overall, David was a man who loved the Lord. He was weak, and he fell into temptation and fell into sin, and some people say, well, I don't think David was even saved. Well, we see from all the other things that he was, and David certainly paid for the sin that he made. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. It tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so David was a weak man, but he was a man that God saved and a man that God blessed and a man after God's own heart. And then here he is saying, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. That's so personal the way he says it. He's not saying, well, I'm strong. No, he said, God is my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, in my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Those are all very strong statements that David makes about the Lord. You know, sometimes we just take things for granted. It's very easy to take a pastor for granted. And some folks think, well, Brother Hunt will be there. He always is. Well, he's sick. And when he called me, he said, will you preach for me? I said, I will try. When you're 83 years old, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, sometimes I forget people's names that I've known for a long time. And, I mean, here's Josh back here. Josh was this big the first time I saw him. He's a little bigger than that now. And Jacob back here and Isaac. All these were in school when I was coming and preaching for them. And here they have grown up. They're about all adults. And here I am, an old man, and know that I don't have many years left in this life. But the time that I have, I want to serve the Lord. I want to be a blessing. And I realize there are certain limitations to that. But here, David is saying, the Lord is my strength. Now, we read down through verse 5, but I want you to notice he's talking not only about the Lord, and he's talking about fear. He said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? We have to recognize that the people who are fighting for their nation, most of them, many of them will be killed. And, you know, we say, well, that'll never happen here. Yeah, it could. We never know what. There's a couple of nations that would love to see us plowed under. And, you know, the Lord doesn't owe us anything, but he has blessed us so. I'm so thankful that I was born in Elsmere. Back then, my sister had, I guess, the benefit of being born in a hospital. We live in the house that my wife was born in, and the house is 100 years old. Her mom and dad set up housekeeping there, and she's the fifth of six children. And so our living room is where she was born, over in the corner. And, you know, we've been blessed. We have so much now that we think we deserve it. And some folks say, well, nobody will ever do that to our nation. Well, the Lord hadn't given us a guarantee. I have a website, and I've been very interested in Baptist history, and I just recently put on a diary of a preacher back in the 1700s. And he helped establish the First Baptist Church in Charleston, South Carolina. And he tells things about the Revolutionary War. He mentions generals, mentions where they were and who some of the men were with them, and how they tried to interfere and destroy the church and tried to destroy the city. And it struck me that he said this: God blessed our wicked city. You know, we don't think of depravity and sin being here all the time. When our nation was being founded, there were those who hated Baptists. If you read about New England, I mean, you weren't even allowed to be a Baptist preacher or a member of a Baptist church up there until the middle 1800s. They had laws against it. And they whipped people on the public square for praying and preaching. I mean, we don't have that, and we act like that it's always been here. No, it hasn't. And back here in David's time, it wasn't always there. Notice what he says here in verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. David had people coming after him. He said, though an host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. What's he going to be confident? The Lord is the one to be confident in. And he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I'm thankful that the Lord saved me when he did. And I'm thankful I've been able to live this long. My dad died at 53. My brother died at 51. And he was stronger than I was, bigger than I was, better athlete. He got a job at General Motors and made big money. He said to me one time, "Jim, you ought to give up that preaching and make some money." And I said, "No, the Lord's called me, and I'm going to try to serve him." And our kids didn't have a lot. I mean, our kids, we just didn't have it to give to them. But you know, it made them better kids, and it made them better adults. And when the Lord saved them, it blessed them. We can't always be responsible after our kids grow up. There are no perfect kids. There are no perfect parents. But here, he's saying one thing he desires, and that is that I'll seek after the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I'm thankful to be a Baptist. I'm thankful that the Lord showed me Baptist truth, which is Bible truth. And he says, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. Notice in verse 5, for in the time of trouble, I remember Brother Keener saying one time, Brother Keener preached here years ago. He's dead now. He pastored in Oklahoma for a long time, and then he developed a cancer of the esophagus. Just had a terrible time with it. And came back and tried to preach and preached some for a time longer, but then he died. But I remember him saying one time, troubles, troubles. Everybody's got troubles. Adam had them. Well, that's true. Everybody since Adam's had troubles. And we just need to realize that in the time of trouble, and that's what David had troubles. His son Absalom tried to kill him. Those that were his general turned against him and tried to kill him. The Lord delivered him in both of those cases and some other cases. Saul tried to kill him, the king before him. And so he had troubles, but he said, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. I'm glad he doesn't say he would set me upon the sand. The sand will not hold us, but the rock will. And the Lord is our rock. The Bible has so much to teach us here in the Psalms and in other places in the Scripture. Some of the things I intended to say, I forgot to say. Some of the things I didn't intend to say, I did say. But I hope that we'll all be blessed and drawn closer to the Lord. Pray for Brother Hunt. Brother Ellis had serious surgery today. Pray for him and for others. Pray for our churches, that the Lord would bless our churches. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.